This is the family of God. This is the flock of God. This is not like some business where you just mess it up, you just go start another one. Eternity is in the balance here, heaven and hell. It's extremely important. Sometimes the burden is crushing to me. The Bible says, I will give an account to God one day. And so I take that serious, that I want to make sure that you're safe, that I protect you from false doctrine and cults and wolves and false ideologies and things like that, and lead you in the right way, because I'm accountable to God.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue with our series called What on Earth Am I Here For? This is the third and final part of a message called You Are Called to Belong. It's taken from various portions of Scripture. But right before today's message, as you may know, Pastor Rick is always teaching that the Bible says you are not an accident and that you are alive because God wanted to create you and He has a purpose for your life. Rick says that you will only be fulfilled when you discover and live out God's purposes for your life. Now, because of this, he wants us to send you his newly expanded version of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? This recently revised and upgraded book is packed with 30 additional hours of teaching, including quick links for video chapter introductions, audio lessons, and two brand new chapters. This book will help you discover God's plan for your life. Now, we'll send you a hardback copy of this life-changing book as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope Ministries. Call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org today for your copy of The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Or you can just text the word daily to 313131. That's daily to 313131. Now here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
God has created two kinds of people who are caregivers, two kinds of people who will step up for you, two kinds of people who will look out for you. The first is pastors. My pastors look out for me or watch out for me when I'm in a part of the flock of God. You know what the word pastor means? It's the Greek word for shepherd. That's what it means. Poimen, a pastor is a shepherd. A shepherd is a pastor. Pastors are to shepherd the flock of God. In fact, you want to know my job description? Look at this on your outline. 1 Peter 5:2. This is God's word to pastors, to shepherds. Take care of God's flock, his people, that you are responsible for. Watch over them because you want to, not because you're forced to. I'm to take care of God's flock. I'm to shepherd. I'm to be responsible. I'm to watch over you. Let me show you another verse. Look up here on the screen. Hebrews 13:17 says this. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they know they are accountable to God. Now, I'll be honest with you guys. That, to me, is the scariest verse in the Bible. It scares me to death. Not the part about obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. The part that scares me is they watch over your souls, and they know they are accountable to God. That scares me to death. Let me just share with you heart to heart here for a minute. The Bible says that if you choose to put yourself under my care as the shepherd of Saddleback Church, and you join this flock and you say, this is going to be my family, this is going to be my flock, this is where I'm going to serve the body of Christ, this is the temple that I'm going to be built into and sharing with, that if you put yourself under my care, that one day I am going to give an account to God for how well I helped you grow spiritually. And that scares me to death. One day I'm going to give an account to God. Me, Rick Warren, will personally give an account to God for how well I took care of your soul. And you guys, I'm not that smart. And if you join this church, I beg you to pray for me. Because I don't think anybody's smart enough to pastor a church this size. I couldn't possibly care for everybody's needs, much less know everybody's needs. And yet the Bible says one day I will give an account for the direction that I led this flock. And I take that very, very seriously. It drives me to my knees every single day. And I am praying for you and your spiritual care, and I beg you to pray for me. Because as I said, I'm just not smart enough to do that. I need your help. And I am concerned that I lead you in the right direction. I would rather stick a knife in my heart than lead you in the wrong way. This is the family of God. This is the flock of God. This is not like some business where you just mess it up. You just go start another one. Eternity is in the balance here. Heaven and hell. It's extremely important. And sometimes the burden is crushing to me. The Bible says, I will give an account to God one day. And so I take that serious, that I want to make sure that you're safe, that I protect you from false doctrine and cults and wolves and false ideologies and things like that, and lead you in the right way. Because I'm accountable to God.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Why am I alive? Does my life really matter? Why am I here? We've all asked these critical questions, and now Pastor Rick Warren answers them in the upgraded edition of his New York Times best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? This book includes two new chapters on how to overcome the biggest barriers to living your life on purpose, as well as links to video chapter introductions and audio lessons. Rick wants you to live a life of purpose and meaning. That's why he wants to send you a copy of this life-changing hardback book. It's our gift to say thanks for your financial support. Stop guessing why you're here. Learn to live life on purpose with The Purpose-Driven Life. What on earth am I here for? Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004, or rickwarren.org. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word daily to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
I need your help. And I am concerned that I lead you in the right direction. I would rather stick a knife in my heart than lead you in the wrong way. This is the family of God. This is the flock of God. This is not like some business where you just mess it up. You just go start another one. Eternity is in the balance here. Heaven and hell. It's extremely important. And sometimes the burden is crushing to me. The Bible says, I will give an account to God one day. And so I take that serious, that I want to make sure that you're safe, that I protect you from false doctrine and cults and wolves and false ideologies and things like that, and lead you in the right way. Because I'm accountable to God. But not only do we have pastors to help us in the flock of God, we have our small groups. And 58 times in the Bible, the phrase one another is used. And the Bible says that the sheep take care of each other. Sheep care for sheep, not just shepherds. And the Bible uses the phrase one another. It says love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, support one another, pray for one another, love one another, greet one another. 58 times we are to do these. And the only way you can do that is in a small group. That's why if you're not in a small group, you're not really connected. Because you can't do those one another's in a crowd of several thousand people. You could only do it in a group of four or six or seven or whatever. Here's what the Bible says, Galatians 6:2. share each other's troubles and problems. And in this way, in other words, when we share each other's troubles and problems, in this way, you obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbors yourself. And when you're in a small group and you pray for somebody who's just gone through a tough time, somebody just says, you know, this week was terrible. This happened, this happened, this happened. And you stop and you pray for them and you encourage them. You give them a pat on the back. You give them a warm, encouraging word. You have just done the one another's. You have just shepherded the flock yourself. You have been a part of the family of God. You've been a part of the body of Christ. You've been a part of the temple of God. You've been a part of the flock of God. And there has been protection and care. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage each other and give each other strength. You get strength, I get strength, by we encourage each other in a small group. So here's my question. Who's looking out for you? Here's another question. Who are you looking out for? Can you name three or four specific people? You go, these are people in our flock, in our family, in our small group, in our body of Christ that I'm looking out for, and they're looking out for me. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a part of the family of God. That's what it means that I'm not just called to be loved, I am called by God to belong. And one day you'll stand before God and say, did you do that one? Did you do the belonging part? That I called you to be a part of my family, a part of my flock, a part of my temple, a part of my body. Did you do those things? But here's the cool thing. All the stuff that you're most embarrassed about in the world, God uses it for good in the church. The very thing you're most embarrassed about, your habits, your hurts, your hang-ups, your sins, your mistakes, your weaknesses, God says, you know what? In my family, I'm going to use those to encourage other people. So the stuff you want to keep a secret from everybody else in the world, you get to tell everybody here because it'll encourage them. Who could better help somebody who's on the verge of a divorce than somebody who's been on the verge of a divorce? Been there, done that. Let me tell you what's going on. Who could better help somebody who's struggling with an addiction than somebody who's had an addiction? Who could better help somebody who's been molested than somebody who's been molested? Who could better help somebody who's gone through a bankruptcy or has lost a child or anything, good, bad, sinful? God says, I can use it all. Now, the final description is the church is called a garden. A garden, specifically a vineyard. And this is an organic metaphor that has to do with how being a part of a church family helps you grow, like fruit in a garden, like grapes on a vine. On the screen, the Bible says in John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. Now, what's the lesson we get out of this? The lesson we get out of the fact that the church is like a garden, where Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches, you know. I actually grow a bunch of different kinds of grapes, and I could bring into you some grape vines and I could bring them in. They're all cut up, but if they're disconnected, they don't bear any fruit at all. This is talking about being fruitful. Your life needs to be productive. You need to make a difference with your life. Everybody wants to end their life feeling like, I didn't just waste my life. I was productive with my life. I did something with my life. I made my life count. And this is the fifth thing that we learned, that in God's garden, my life becomes productive. It becomes fruitful. I do something with my life because now I'm connected to the vine and there's life-giving life flowing through those vines and those branches, so I'm able to bear fruit. If I'm disconnected, there's no way I'm going to bear fruit. I can cut off a branch of an apple tree. It will never in a million years grow any apples. It only grows apples as it's connected to the tree. Now, the Bible says in John 15, 4 and 5, a branch cannot bear fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Circle much fruit. That's called productivity. But apart from me, you can do nothing. The point is, a disconnected branch can't bear fruit. God has all kinds of fruit he wants to bear in your life, but you can't do it. None of the fruit that God has for your life will happen unless you're connected to the church, unless you're connected to the vine. You're built into the building. You're a part of the body. You're a member of the family. You're a sheep in the flock. All these connection metaphors say nothing happens that God intends for your life, your purpose. That's why your calling, your second calling, is to belong, to get connected. And I want to say to those of you who are teenagers, your gifts are just as important as the gifts and talents of the adults sitting around you. And they are needed, and your church needs them in this church. And you don't have to wait till you're 92 to start serving. We have over 400 ministries in this church and literally thousands and thousands of ways to use your talents, your interest, your opportunities, your network, whatever you're good at, whatever you'd like to learn to be good at, lots of different ways, and you can get involved now. You have five basic needs in your life. You have a need to know your identity. Who am I really? You have a need to develop stability so you don't get blown away by the tough things in life. You have a need to increase your capacity. You have a need to have security in your life, and you have a need for productivity. All five of these things are found in God's family. In God's family, I learn my identity. In Christ's body, I discover my unique value, my capacity. In God's temple, I learn how to support others and be supported by others and have that stability. And in God's flock, I come together for protection and care, security. And in the vine, in the garden, I learn productivity, fruitfulness. Let me say it another way. In your life, if you're going to really live the life God made you to live, you need power to live on. You need people to live with. You need principles to live by. You need a plan to live out. And you need a purpose to live for. Where are you going to get that outside of the church? Nowhere. Nowhere in the world will you find those five things anywhere else except in the plan of God, who created the whole thing and designed his family, the church, to answer your deepest needs. So here's my one question. Why should you remain disconnected when a church like this has so much to offer? You are called to belong, to be connected, to be associated, to be involved. Some of you your families live a long distance away. We don't live in where we used to have five generations in the same town anymore. And many of you, your family and relatives are a long way. And many of you are single adults. And many of you are in unsupportive family or marriage relationships where they don't support you spiritually. And maybe all your life you have tried to fit in and you have tried to belong and you've looked for places to belong all your life. You just want to be accepted and to belong. But the truth is, you would say, you know, Rick, I've never felt I belonged anywhere. Here's my word to you. Fall in love with the church. Fall in love with the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the family of God, the flock of God, the most brilliant concept ever created. It's the reason the universe exists. People who say, well, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church, or I don't need the church, that's the stupidest thing you can say. The church was designed to meet your deepest needs. You cannot be what God puts you on this earth to be without being connected. We're better together. We grow together. And God says it four or five different ways. The church is the hope of the world. America is not the hope of the world. Politics is not the hope of the world. Economics is not the hope of the world. Education is not the hope of the world. If any of those things would work, we would have already turned the thing around. The hope of the world is the spread of God's good news so that lives are changed and hearts are changed and families and marriages are saved. And the only thing that's going to last is the church of God. So I highly recommend you invest the rest of your life in that which is going to outlast it. Nothing else will. Let me close with this verse on the screen. Ephesians 3:21. Glory belongs to God in the church and in Jesus Christ for all time and eternity. Now notice, the Bible says two things bring glory to God: the church and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The church is the family of God. And those two things bring glory to God. Don't you ever put the church down again. It's God's bride. It's God's family. It's God's flock. And it's God's purpose for your life. You're called to belong. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you that even with all of our faults and weaknesses and all of the many sins in your family, you love your family, the church. Of course, it's going to be imperfect. It's filled with imperfect people. But you love it. And Jesus, I thank you that you're not ashamed to call us your brothers and sisters. And so may we never be ashamed of your church. It's your family. Lord, you've said in the word, Christ died for the church. And I pray that we would have that same attitude, that the attitude of our brothers and sisters. You've said, we know what love is, that we lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. May we realize we're not just friends. We're not just attenders. We're family. May we stick up for each other. May we support each other. May we care for each other. And may the world look at Saddleback Church and say, those guys really love. They really love. If you haven't stepped across the line and invited Jesus Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life right now. Come into my life and change me and save me. I want to be a part of your family. And I want to accept your call to be loved, and I want to accept your call to belong. In your name I pray. Amen.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. If you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Now, Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought, but right before that, as you may know, Pastor Rick is always teaching that the Bible says you are not an accident, and that you are alive because God wanted to create you, and He has a purpose for your life. Now, Rick says that you will only be fulfilled when you discover and live out God's purposes for your life. Because of this, he wants us to send you the newly expanded version of his book, The Purpose-Driven Life: What on Earth Am I Here For? This recently revised and upgraded book is packed with 30 additional hours of teaching, including quick links for video chapter introductions, audio lessons, and two brand new chapters. This book will help you discover God's plan for your life. And we'll send you the hardback copy of this life-changing book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support of Daily Hope Ministries. Call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org today for your copy of The Purpose-Driven Life, What on Earth Am I Here For? That's 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org. And now you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. That's DAILY to 313131. Oh, and while you're at the website, be sure and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email. Click on his social media links and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. And again, that's at rickwarren.org. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
An old preacher once told me that 90% of what God wants to say to you is encouragement. I think that's true. If all you ever hear from God is negative messages, you're listening to Satan, not to God. Satan is the accuser of Christians, the Bible says. Something is wrong. If every message you get from God is a negative message, the wires have been crossed. This is why it's so important that we test what we hear and what we think with God's Word, because God's Word is always the truth. Thanks for listening. And let me hear from you. Write to me, rick@rickwarren.org, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous support.